Hi, welcome to Redwood Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kirk.
This week we're going to discuss a lot of topics. The big beautiful bill, the Supreme Court decision, the Paramount Cave, and much more. Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we're here to discuss national politics of the day. And I don't think we're going to be able to fit everything in 50 minutes, but we've got a lot going on, Matthew. Why don't we start with last week's incredible decision with some personal attacks between the, I don't know if they're personal attacks, but some sniping between the Supreme Court justices. And this was, people are misconstruing it. It was not officially a decision about birthright citizenship. That is yet to come. And I actually am predicting that when it does come, that the Supreme Court will actually uphold the 14th Amendment of birthright citizenship. But there's going to be chaos in the meantime in getting to that ruling. And because what they did do was they overturned the injunction against Trump's order, basically overturning the 14th Amendment, right. In which will basically allow Trump to ignore the 14th Amendment in every one of the 94 districts in which this injunction has not been granted. So three injunctions have been granted so far. So that means in three districts, he cannot strip people of their citizenship for having people who were born in the United States. We've discussed that in under the 14th Amendment, if you're born in the United States with with basically two exceptions, then you are a citizen, period. It doesn't matter if your parents are here unlawfully or not. You are a citizen. And, that is the way it is in about 30 countries, by the way. And so Trump believes that he could simply issue an executive order saying that the 14th Amendment is null and void. I mean, he's saying he's reinterpreting it. And so it got all the way to the Supreme Court, but it's just solely on the issue of the injunction. The Supreme Court says we'll basically review this when it comes back around to us in terms of the substance of the case, but you cannot have a preliminary injunction issued by a single judge in one district that affects the whole country. That is not, and of course, this is the way things have gone on for decades, because basically, if it's a constitutional decision, we could have 94 different rulings until the Supreme Court decide something, or at least until a circuit court decides something, and at which point we could have 13 different decisions.
Right. I'm waiting for him to take away women's right to vote, saying, "Yeah, I don't think women should vote. They should be home barefoot in the kitchen. They don't need to vote." Here's an executive order. The Supreme Court can't do anything about it. The Supreme Court said I can get away with it after already allowing it. Keep in mind, last year the Supreme Court came out and said a president is immune from any crimes he commits while in office, because we never had a president commit crimes before Trump. Well, Nixon.
Yeah.
Outside of that, we never think a president's going to go out there specifically to commit crimes. Trump thinks every day, how can I get away with whatever I want to get away with?
I mean, we'll come back to that topic in a little bit, because the South Korean former president is actually facing charges for having attempted a military coup. Right. The Filipino ex-president is facing charges for, I think, murder. Neither of them apparently could be prosecuted in the United States because those crimes occurred during the official acts of the presidencies.
And what happened if Trump decides he's going to use the military against any civil unrest or protest?
Yeah.
Well, he do it. Who's going to stop him?
Well, and that's what he's looking towards. But getting back to this other decision, what it does mean is that, okay, somebody is arrested by ICE, and they're arresting citizens. There are already people who have been held by ICE that are citizens, but they didn't happen to be carrying their documents with them because, I mean, do you carry all your documents with you all the time?
Yeah. I do.
Well, now you do.
I'm paranoid. I do.
I mean, you know, maybe we should. I mean, that's just, you know, if I walk my dog at night, maybe I should. Maybe I'm risking getting deported if I don't. I mean, it's just, but the point is that you can be arrested and then deemed to not be a citizen and deported before you've had a chance to prove it, because according to the order, you're not a citizen if your parents were here, if your parents weren't citizens.
Right.
And then by the time he gets to the Supreme Court, you're already in Uganda.
Or Libya.
Yeah.
Or El Salvador.
Horrible. I mean, you know, that and they've already shown that when he doesn't want to, he has a hard time getting people back here. That's the problem, is that a lot is going to happen in these districts. So right now, you're guaranteed, if you were born in this country, you're guaranteed citizenship in the three districts in which this was found, which is a district in the Valley of California, I think one in New York, I forget where the other one is. So right now, advocacy organizations are getting ready to file lawsuits across the country in every single one. This is such a waste of time, waste of the court's time. Right. And if judges start ruling differently, we're going to have injunctions against him in place in one district and not the other. So you're a citizen in one county and you drive over to Reading and you're not a citizen.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at today with Trump. But that's, keep in mind, that was part of his goal, was chaos.
Yeah. And
very good.
And that's what is happening.
Only this time in Trump 47 versus Trump 45, he weeded out the people who actually believe in the Constitution and the rule of law. And now he's surrounded by people who believe in Trump, no matter what he says or does. And that, I'm going to drill that down to Congress.
Yeah, well, and you know, unfortunately, people in the Department of Justice have been quitting, and I don't blame them, you know, because they don't want to be part of the travesty. It's like with Mayor Adams, when they dropped the charges against him, I think a total of 11 prosecutors, several of them Republicans, quit. But what does that mean?
Guess who moves up the ranks when they quit?
Exactly.
Now you get the yes men who will do whatever Trump says. Hey, I got a promotion and more money. Great. What do you need me to do, Trump?
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
So that brings us to some of the biggest news, and we'll probably spend a lot of time talking about this. That is the big, beautiful bill, or the big, ugly bill, or the big, bloated bill, whatever you want to call it. It did get through the Senate, and with just enough votes, 50 votes,
51.
51 with Vance. Vice President,
right?
Yeah. Coming in.
The actual vote was 51-50, which is police terminology for crazy.
Yeah. And there was a lot of last minute voting. I believe Collins voted against it.
Tom Tillis in North Carolina.
Tom Tillis voted against it. And Murkowski, who, you know, they were going to buy her off by just not promising not to take away Medicaid in Alaska alone. Then the parliamentarian informed everybody, no, you can't do that, because if you do it for one state, then you can't get by the filibuster. So they've made some other promise to her, because she's been going around. Everybody's, why is everybody picking on me? Yes, this is a horrible bill. I hope it gets written better down in the House, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, then why did you vote for it? And she's angry that people are asking her that question.
And she allegedly got a carve out that her citizens in Alaska don't have to do the mandatory work requirement to get SNAP and Medicaid, or so actually it was Medicaid.
I mean, it's just absolutely shameless. I don't think I've had less respect for a political figure in ages. I just, you know, I'm trying to think
of it. She could have done the John McCain thing. If you remember the vote when they tried to kill Obamacare with nothing else to back it up, John McCain stood up and said, nope, we're not killing it. And it lost. Yeah. He stood up for what was right for America and what was right for his state. Lisa Murkowski looked like a deer in headlights when reporters came up to her after the vote. She
She said today she's crying. Why is everybody picking on me? Well, why do you think?
She's been a hero. Instead, she caved to Trump. She's more afraid of the MAGA nation showing up at her doorstep and threatening to kill her and her husband, because that's what MAGA does.
I mean, it's really sad, and that we're there at this point in politics, and everybody else caved because they just, you know, absolutely did it. Now they ran into some issues. They had to make a lot of changes in order to avoid the filibuster. And they talked about killing the filibuster, but then you better hope that you hold on to the Senate forever. Right. You know, if you do that. So it's just I think they didn't want to do that. And so, you know, we've got this situation. A lot of Medicaid cuts. ICE is going to have the biggest increase in funding, you know, crazy. By the way, they opened up the concentration camp in Florida today, and it flooded while they were there, by the way.
It was a concentration camp, Eric. It was alligator Alcatraz.
Right.
Basically open cages in the Florida heat and humidity.
Yeah.
They're literally outdoor cages, like you'd have a kennel for your dog.
Meanwhile, another person they were holding, a 75-year-old man, died in their custody. I think this is, what, about the sixth or seventh person that's died in ICE custody?
It's good.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to argue, well, you know, prisoners die in custody. It's like, anyway, it's beyond bizarre, but it is now down in the House. And so, and of course, the two Republicans who voted against it, one of them has already caved. He's saying, oh, Donald Trump is such a good deal maker. He called me in twice and convinced me to vote for it, which basically means he threatened him. But there are people in the Freedom Caucus who are saying, wait a minute. We sent a bill up there that had, you know, more cuts, and you're not cutting Medicaid enough, and this is going to cause the deficit to go crazy, which it will. It's going to massively increase the deficit.
And the Republicans can cure the deficit overnight. All they have to do is increase taxes on the wealthy and corporations, and the deficit will start going down immediately. And yet, ask a Republican sometime why they won't do that. Yeah. The answers you get are hilarious. Well, corporations shouldn't pay taxes. So guess whose taxes are going up, Eric? You and I are going to be paying more in taxes.
Yeah, I think the average is going to be like $1,200.
I heard $1,600 for the average American. Yeah. But it's important that Elon Musk does not pay taxes at all. That's what's important.
Yeah. Well, and the irony is he's against this bill. Granted, for selfish reasons, you know, he wants those subsidies.
Right. Yeah. He needs EV tax credits to sell his cars.
Yeah. And by the way, Tesla cars are still continuing to not sell well. A report today. I mean, he made his nest. You know, I'm glad that they're back at it fighting, because, you know, it's the more they fight, the better for the opposition. But he's selfish. And of course, Trump is upset and is now threatening to deport him. Of course, Trump is probably just talking. He doesn't have basis.
Rich people don't get deported.
Yeah. I mean, it is beyond ridiculous. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, they're not even thinking about the midterms because this bill is unpopular, and people are paying attention to it, and they're just passing it anyway. It's like,
If you're in a red state and 20% of your constituency loses 20% of their SNAP benefit, which is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, aka food stamps, which is now they get a little electronic card. So it's an EBT card. So that's what how they pay for the groceries. And if you tell an old person or someone who's on minimal money, we're cutting 20% of your food budget, they're going to be screaming. Also, if you tell them we're cutting 20% of your medical care, seniors not getting wheelchairs, or worse yet, seniors getting booted out of senior care homes, where are they going to go?
And Josh Hawley was standing up against it, but he caved like Murkowski.
He voted, oh, Mitch McConnell, he hates Trump and he's not running for re-election. Why did he say this is a horrible bill? Why didn't he say that?
I don't know. It's just like it's like like there were pods that were distributed from the invasion of the body snatchers or something. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's not popular. It's not even popular with MAGA, and they're paying attention, and they're not. Trump's approval ratings are at an all-time low.
Here's
I
something
mean,
that came out today, the no tax on tips. That's only good for 3 years. It ends when Trump goes out of office. But these tax cuts for the wealthy, they usually put a 10-year sunset on them. They're indefinite
yeah.
for a lifetime until a new Senate and Congress can say, we're going to start raising taxes on you because we have the votes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is it's going to wreak a lot of havoc in the short term, but this will eventually be overturned. It's just how much pain and carnage is it going to cause in the meantime? This will turn around unless there's a military coup, in which case, I don't know when it'll turn around, but if we do have elections next year, and we do have elections in 2028, this is going to turn around because they're acting like they never have to face voters again.
Voter, right. And I think these people are so entrenched in districts that are gerrymandered for they have a majority of Republicans. They think they can do whatever they want, and they're one, their people don't read and don't care. Two, Fox News is going to tell them the opposite of what just happened. And three, they think people are going to vote red and Republican no matter what. But I think when you have people's food, that's when it's going to start shit hits the fan.
But there's already people, political people looking, and granted they don't necessarily, projections don't necessarily come true. But Chris Matthews, his outfit, and granted he's a Democrat, but he hasn't always predicted good things for the Democrats. He's right now projecting the Democrats will pick up 15 to 16 seats in the midterms, which would be about average for a first,
Let's hope it's more than that.
I think it will be,
Let's
but he's just looking at individual cases. I think if this thing does pass, it's probably going to be more like 30 to 40.
And Laura Trump's going to run for senator in North Carolina.
Is she okay? All right. Well,
wants a legacy.
I mean, they're talking about Eric Trump is talking about maybe I should run in 2028. It's like you don't got your father's stuff. One thing about Trump is, this is the thing. If he can't stay in power by some other means or find a way to run again, that Trump has his finesse of a way of appealing to enough voters to be able to do this stuff. He's got a charisma that appeals to certain types of voters. Vance doesn't have that. Vance puts his audiences to sleep.
But you know who I'm predicting is going to be the Republican 2028 nominee?
Who?
JD Vance with a Vice President Donald Trump.
I don't know. I don't think Trump would want to be second fiddle.
I think he'll be sitting in the Oval Office and tell JD to go sit outside.
Yes. I mean, my guess is the one that is looking and running for it is Kristi Noem. That's I know. People were saying Pete Hegseth, but he's too dumb. I don't think he's gonna do it. He's really not pulling together. In fact, I don't think Hegseth is gonna last.
For the record, I like Kristi Noem to run just so I can look at her outfits every day.
Yeah.
I need a good laugh.
Well, a story came out about her. She did nothing illegal, by the way. This is just a problem with unregulated dark money. But PACs raised something, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and she pocketed 80,000 of it. Just, you know, took it. But didn't report it because it's dark money. She doesn't have to report it. Nothing illegal about it. You're allowed to do it. But you know, all the people that donated money to her, they basically gave it to her. A bunch of people, you know, if you consider it. Others, you know, went into other things. But it's one of those things where it would be illegal in certain contexts, but because of all the deregulation of that money, it's fine. And her attorneys are saying it followed the letter and the spirit of the law, and the people they analyzed and said, yeah, it followed the letter of the law, definitely not the spirit.
Besides, if Kristi Noem made it to the White House, would you want to be her dog?
Yeah, right. Yep.
What kind of crazy woman shoots her pets?
I know, or brags about it. You know, if you felt it was necessary and you didn't have any options, but brags about it. But, you know, anyway, there's a lot of news about that, but we are talking about the big bill. I mean, is there going to, I mean, here I am finding myself rooting for the crazy people, you know, to stand up, to say, yeah, the deficit hawks, the Freedom Caucus people,
right,
to, you know, put your crazy ideology before your loyalty to Trump. I mean, will they do that? Marjorie Taylor Greene has sort of come close on some
Thomas
things.
Thomas Massey in Kentucky.
What's that?
Thomas Massey of Kentucky. He's been
well. He did. He voted against it the first time, and he even tried to pass the War Powers Act. But that's just one. They need at least four, I believe, right?
At least, yeah. I'm thinking more.
Yeah. So you know, it's just, but there, and there, some of them are angry. They felt they compromised enough to be able to get the bill up there. They're angry that the Senate, you know, made the changes that they had in order to get it through past the filibuster. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. They're going to work on it. They're going to lean on the holdouts.
Yeah, they need to get eight people to turn against it, which means nine. So,
I thought it was closer than that.
I'm showing 220 Republican, 212 Democrat with three vacant seats.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, that means they got to flip nine votes.
Okay. Well, good luck. That's going to be difficult. you know, I mean, the things that are in it too. I mean, it's just even bizarre things. One, that some of the things didn't make it in that were in the original House bill, such as, you know, the limitations of the courts and all of that.
Right.
You know, that those things couldn't get in because the parliamentarian said those aren't budget related items.
Right. You can't put in judicial items on there.
Right. You know, or anything that doesn't pertain to the budget. You know, you can't just slip in these crazy things. You got to stick to spending issues. So that's.
Is the question I'm going to have is any red state elected Republican going to hold a town hall after voting for this abomination?
I certainly Murkowski isn't. Well, actually, maybe she will because she did get that deal. But I don't know. I don't think they would. No, Murkowski's not going to hold anything public. She's going to be hiding.
That's my point. I think a lot of them are just going to stick their head in their sand and not even be seen in public.
Yeah. Tillis and Collins, of course, might. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But no, because they'll face MAGA crazy. So
when Matt Gaetz was in office, he said he could not go out to dine in Washington, D.C. He would get harassed at restaurants or bars. So he has to basically get food to go and eat at home or eat at his office.
Wow. Well, it's I mean, it's not right to harass people in restaurants, but
I understand. But if grandma dies because she couldn't get the medical help she needed, or my grandkids are starving because they're not getting enough food, people are going to get vocal.
Oh, yeah. No, it just happens. And if I went to Washington, D.C., I would expect that to happen. You know, if I'm voting on things, I know I'm going to piss people off.
Keep in mind, the crown rule of politics is all politics is local, but then all politics is personal. Yeah. When it affects you, yourself, and your family, people get fired up. So,
yeah. Well, and if you're running for the office, you just got to figure that that's going to happen somewhere, sometime.
Yeah, but you don't want to make a vote that pisses off 20% of your constituency.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
In the meantime, Trump has made some other threats. Oh, he threatened to arrest New York City mayoral candidate Mamdani, which, by the way, they confirmed his win today or yesterday, was it? once they did the second round tiered vote counting, he ended up with 56% to Cuomo's 44%. Cuomo is running as an independent, which I think is actually going to help Mamdani, because that means
he's still running.
Cuomo, yeah. Adams is running.
Adams is running as an independent also.
Yes, right, which is going to split that vote. And Sliwa is running. He's refusing to drop out, even though MAGA people are trying to get him to drop out because they all want Adams because he's Trump's buddy. And Sliwa, of course, is the head of the Guardian Angels, who perennially runs. And he's turned into a bit of a never-Trumper. I've always thought he was a little goofy, but he apparently is saying, no, I'm going to stay in the race. So you got a Republican, you've got a Democratic Trumper, and you've got Cuomo. Two of them are absolutely corrupt. One of them's an ideologue. I think they're pretty much setting it up for Mamdani to win. I mean, you know, it's just...
And then let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's... the big formula for Mamdani is... He increased the youth vote by 18% from 2021. I mean, and James Carville, I watched him just before I came on this afternoon. Carville does not like his ideology at all. He's like saying this is, you know, far to the left, but he's saying, oh, what the hell? You can picture with his accent. This is New York City anyway, but the Democrats should take a lesson, not from his ideology, but from his model. They need to get out there, you know, and he's out there. He's real. He's genuine. Democrats need to take heed of that, you know.
I saw the when they had the campaign, what do you call it, when all the candidates are on stage, the debate, where they asked all the candidates, which foreign country would you go visit? Most of them said Israel. And Mandami said, why would I go anywhere else? I'm the mayor of New York City. I would stay here and take care of our problems.
Yeah, right.
And also everyone went, whoa, what a great answer.
Yeah, well, and Mamdani also said, what Carville said is he kept talking about affordability.
Right.
You know, when he's talking to people, he says, you know, he acknowledges their situation. And Carville said, that's how Trump won. He says, you know, it's not like Trump's going to do anything for him, but he makes you think that. Right.
And the vast majority of New Yorkers do not make $1 million a year.
Yeah.
No. Vast majority.
Right. And it's just, you know, and he has a couple of interesting proposals. I mean, it turns out that the proposal for the government-run stores he's only proposing a pilot program, one in each borough. So that's five government-run stores that are kind of like a public option. If private stores are gouging people, that these stores would just operate at it and they would have that option. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, they stop it. They haven't spent that much money on it. And, you know, why not try something like that? I mean, you know, it's something, you know, so that's how he got the youth vote is, you know, let's try something clever. You got to propose something. And whether or not it works, at least you're coming up with something. And Carville, you know, said this. He said, I don't like all of his ideas. And I don't like that he calls himself a democratic socialist. And he can get away with that in New York City right now, maybe. But the point is we need to look at his campaign and how he generated the excitement. There were moderate people who voted for him who said, yeah, he's a socialist or whatever, but he's talking about what is important to me.
Right.
That's the thing. And that's why people voted for Trump who probably don't like Trump, because he was talking,
about issues that affect them.
Exactly. And, you know, and when do Democrats learn this lesson? So it's just Cuomo wasn't talking about that. I mean, you know, it's just, and that's the thing, because he's out of touch. And people are also maybe tired of just voting for people who are corrupt because they don't have any choice. I mean, Cuomo is corrupt. There's no getting around that.
And here's the thing that you just kind of mentioned. In the NCAA sports, there's over 500,000 athletes in Division I, II, and III across men's and women's sports, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, swimming, fencing, you know, you can go on and on and on, over 500,000 athletes. There's an alleged 10 trans athletes out of 500,000.
Right.
What do the Democrats get labeled with? You don't want your girl having to go against a boy in basketball. So just stupid issues, cultural issues.
Well, there's a lot of issues like that where they do that, and how many of them actually even win. I mean, you know, they win, you hear about it, and you've got a lot of different issues that they can win. But where they need to focus on is you can find weak points in the issues. There is, you know, arresting citizens. That's a winning issue. Right. You can attack, you know, ICE on that. There was a citizen that was arrested and held to the horror of his family last week, released. He's suing the government now for $1 million.
That's all? Should be more. They actually arrested an American for filming them.
Yeah.
They don't like being filmed. And why are they covering their faces if they have nothing to hide?
Well, their claim it's because... that somebody doxed them, but there's no proof of that.
Are we doxing local law enforcement? We could, we don't, but
it hasn't happened. And none of the soldiers have been doxed.
They never said that which ICE officer got doxed. They just said someone did, and they left it there. Ask the follow-up question: what's the guy's name? Where does he live? And show me where he was doxed.
Yeah, I mean, some people are saying that there's theories that the reason they're wearing masks is because they hired Proud Boys. I don't know.
I heard they filed bail bondsmen, bounty hunters.
Right.
And the other rumor out there is they're getting $1,000 a head. So if you're walking down the street and you got brown skin, I tell all my friends, I hope you got your passport near you, and I hope you got a California real ID.
But this is, you know, and this is the thing, as we discussed last week, there have been something like a dozen incidents of people with masks claiming that they're ICE agents, right, and kidnapping people, and assaulting them.
And it makes it hard when they have no badge, no insignia, no name tag, no nothing.
And refusing to show it, yeah.
Is this a real agent, or is this some bad guy who just wants to kidnap women to go rape and torture them?
Right.
We don't know, and they won't tell us.
No. And Tom Homan gets mad that advocacy organizations are telling immigrants what their rights are. I mean, you know, when if you are upholding the Constitution, you should at least pretend to say that, well, I believe everybody should know their rights. That's right. You know, that's the law, right? They should, their rights should be upheld. You don't get mad. You should be promising not to abridge their rights. You, right. You should be out there saying, well, it's good that they know their rights, but it's not necessary because we're not going to violate them. But instead, he gets mad because it makes their job harder. It only makes their job harder if they're depriving them of their rights.
Now, here's the other thing I'm hearing with ICE. If you're on public areas, sidewalk, streets, etc., they can pretty much walk up to you if you have brown skin and say, show me your ID.
Yeah.
When they walk into private property, businesses, restaurants, employment, places of employment, and then they, if you have a smart manager, they come out and say, do you have a warrant? Because you cannot come in my place without a warrant. No, you can't come looking for people. This is private property. You can wait out there in the street for them to go home, but you're not going to hang out and do your dirty work at my business.
That's, yeah. There was actually a famous, a viral scene in a car wash.
One I saw too. Yep. Yeah. Where the woman started screaming at them.
Yeah. She said, show me your ID. I don't know who you are. I don't even know if you're ICE.
To them. You're not under arrest. Do not say, talk to them. What's the magic thing we always tell someone when they're pulled over? I don't answer questions.
Yeah. And that guy was frozen. He was scared. The one that they were going to take, he just didn't know what to do. He probably fell in love with that woman. I mean, that was just and she did the right thing. Maybe not insulting them towards the end, but who cares? I mean, it was just, that was it. And they left. They did not walk. They did not want to do it because they knew they were being recorded, and they knew anything they did could be undone because they were on private property. And that was a good lesson. I hope that, that film gets passed around.
Everyone, if you're on the street, you're open game.
Right. Yeah. There's a bunch of YouTube things too. When they say, oh, we've got a warrant. No, you don't. Show me the judge's signature.
Right.
These are not warrants. These things that you put out that your administrative boss, signs are not warrants.
It's a menu from a Chinese restaurant. That's not a warrant.
Right. Yeah. So it's just, it's really bad. In the meantime, we've got some bad economic news. I mean, it's just, the chaos is finally catching up to us.
Okay. I got to jump in there real quick is because I go to Las Vegas once or twice a month. Between free airfare, I get a lot of comp nights, and I have what's called Caesar's Diamond status. So I get rooms Sunday through Thursday, $9, $10 a night. It's literally with no resort fee, free parking. So it's fun when I go there. Something's happening there now. Flights used to be packed, 95% full coming to and from Las Vegas. I just took a flight back this week. I got on the plane. I looked around the flight attendant and goes, this wasn't a 6 a.m. flight. This is like a 9 a.m. flight. I'm like, where the hell is everybody? This flight is, I could barely get on this flight. This flight's packed. What's going on? She goes, it started slowing down a week or two ago. And what they're saying is people from Canada, China, Mexico, obviously, and then Japan aren't coming to the U.S.
And this is June.
Yeah, I understand. And also, I'm having problems leasing out. We Airbnb a timeshare condo we have in Hawaii. Usually gets booked 3 to 6 months in advance.
Yeah.
I've got one unit there that I may be going there because it's use it or lose it type thing. I'm dropping the price during the Dutch auction, dropping the price each week. They're not right now. I looked online at Red Week and Airbnb, and a lot of these aren't renting, which normally books out 3 to 6 months in advance for Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's kind of a what's going on out there. The tourism is slowing down. Guess what happens when the tourism slows down? They start laying off employees.
Yeah.
And throughout Las Vegas, I'm seeing blackjack dealers, cocktail waitresses, housekeeping staff are being laid off. But this is happening across the country right now.
Yeah. I mean, this is what happens. I mean, what's worse than the tariffs even is when they're on again, off again. When businesses don't know how to invest and they can't predict it because Trump, keeps putting everything off, and doesn't make a decision because he's so indecisive, then nobody knows what's going to happen. You can't plan for the future. Right. If they knew that the tariffs were going to be there for a while, they could at least plan for that.
Right.
Bad, but nobody knows what's happening. So they're not investing. And layoffs are starting to happen now. And there was, I forget her name, Perino, whatever it was, on Fox News today, was in shock because all of the projectors were expecting the ADP report to show 100,000 jobs gained in June. Instead, there were 33,000 reported loss. Right. And they were in shock. She quickly changed the subject. But this is a big deal. And I believe this is why Trump is now asserting, saying Powell better resign, because he wants to try to see if he can fire Powell. And we'll see how that works.
Yeah. I mean, you know what Powell said to Congress? The reason we're not dropping interest rates is tariffs.
Yeah.
They're right. going to be inflationary. One other note there, too. U.S. home sales of new homes, newly built homes, hit a 20-year low. So having problems getting... We have a global supply chain, like you just said, Eric. Guess what's happening to the cost of your goods? You don't know. A lot of our lumber comes from Canada, and no one wants to pay 20, 30, 40% tariff. We don't know what the tariff is. Second thing is interest rates are much higher than they were just a few years ago. And the big third reason is their labor pool has gotten smaller and smaller, so they're having to pay higher labor prices because Hispanics aren't showing up to job sites.
Yeah.
They're afraid. No,
it started to cascade because this is the first negative ADP jobs report since the pandemic, basically. Right. So it's a problem. I mean, this is and it's due primarily to chaos because we are, you know, we've got a problem here. It is and there's no way out of it soon. And it's everything. It's the ICE activities. It's Trump acting crazy. It's even just with the threats of war, that, you know, on off again. Oh, I'm going to bomb Iran. Oh, I want peace now. So stop, everybody, stop fighting. You know, I mean, it's just that's not how it works. The Ukraine cutoff of weapons. I mean, you know, it's just they're not going to count on us anymore. The rest of the allies are. The
world doesn't count on us anymore.
No, they're not. We're under Trump. We are not the world leader. They'll pretend that we are, though, to try to get something out of them. They'll butter them up, but they're not taking us seriously because they don't know what he's going
to
do.
If you're a wealthy couple in Mexico, are you going to come to the U.S. to vacation?
No. Yeah.
Hell no. You might be sent to El Salvador prison. You don't know.
At minimum, you're going to be spending, you know, hours in the airport. I mean, you know, it's just while they go through and demand to see your phone and ask you all kinds of weird questions.
And if you're a wealthy couple from the Middle East, are you going to come to America? Nope. I've already
heard. Unless you got a direct connection with somebody in you know, then, and hope that, you know, they know about it. I mean,
rely on tourists, and there's a lot of countries that look at the U.S. saying, "I'm not going there for 3.5 years. This is insane."
Yeah.
It used to be an open border. I have a passport. I have no criminal record. It was an open border. You could go around the world. Now they're looking at the U.S. saying, did you want to travel? If you're Jewish, do you want to travel to Nazi Germany in 1939? Maybe not.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to avoid Germany for this while. And unfortunately, I think that's what's happening in the U.S. right now.
I think you're right. I've also noticed it's just a few products here and there, but I've gone to the store looking for things, and you know they're there a couple of days later. But I've actually gone to the store and certain things weren't there.
Right.
I'm not used to that happening. Right. I mean, it's not. I'm not going to say it's like the third world. You know, I'm first world, they're not used to being inconvenienced, but the fact that it's happened about 4 or 5 times over the past couple of months, it just has me worried. It's not a big deal. I can go to another store and get it, or I can, wait a couple of days. There's no emergency. Right. It's what it indicates.
But I found the perfect product I was looking for at Home Depot today, clicked on it and went to my, what do you call it, the cart, and it said out of stock.
Yeah.
I went, this is your Home Depot, but a lot of these products are made around the world.
Right.
And they import them in.
Yeah, because I think they're starting, you know, over the past few months, they've been not reordering because they don't know what they're doing. Some of the import companies have been wanting to pass it on to the, you know, the distributors, to the retailers. And the retailers are saying, I'm going to buy from somebody else. Right. And so they're using up their inventories and they're not reordering as quickly. They're probably taking a little bit of time and saying, okay, I better get it. And so there's probably delays And so there's probably a few days here and there. And that's a problem. It's not a major problem right now, but it does show that there that things could get bad in a hurry. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not something that I'm used to happening in the United States. It happened during the pandemic when we were running out of toilet paper.
Right.
Spam and a couple other things. Right. I mean, we mostly ran out of toilet paper because idiots were stockpiling it. But
you do not need 180 rolls to get you by.
Yeah. But no, I mean, this is a concern. And I think it's because there's just an increasing feeling of chaos. And we've got somebody who, you know, says he's a stable genius. I've got a secret plan. I'm not sharing it. And he's not governing. And today, John Speaker Mike Johnson reminded the GOP caucus that Congress really doesn't have to be legislating a whole lot right now. It's like, what is your job? What are you there for?
Why are you there? And why are we paying you a pension for life?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it is absolutely bizarre, but they're not introducing bills. It's a thing. Things are slowing down in general. And in the meantime, you go into certain parts of Los Angeles and the streets are closed. Stores are closed. Nobody wants to go there. At night or during the day, because they don't want their kids. I spoke to a friend who is Latino who says he doesn't know if he wants his daughter being out on the street in certain parts of Los Angeles, not because she would get deported, but because she could possibly be grabbed, you know, and it just in the sweep. I mean, it's just that he even has to think about that.
So, Eric, I just asked the question in Google, how many bills has the current Congress passed? 4 bills so far this year.
Yeah.
4.
All right. Well, we're getting towards the end here. I do want to also point out that now Kristi Noem is looking into whether or not naturalized citizens can be have their citizenships stripped away because the current government doesn't like their politics. They're looking into the criteria of that, presumably if they're communist or something along those lines. This has happened before, by the way. They tried to do it with longshoreman organizer Harry Bridges twice. And the Supreme Court back then, the court system said no. Even during the height of the McCarthy era, the court system said no. Once you're a citizen, you can do what you want, period. You know, I mean, it's just Trump seems to think he's got a new line to be able to do this. And they are, Kristi Noem is looking into it. Any thoughts on that before we go to predictions?
That's the scary part. If they take naturalized citizens and revoke that, you already passed it.
Yeah.
So yeah. No. What's there to unpass? I already got my citizenship.
Yeah. To me, it's like if a parent, and this is personal to me because people have said, well, you know, maybe parents should be able to undo the adoption if it doesn't work right. And to me, it's like, I take offense to that. It's, once you've adopted, it's just as if you've given birth. You're the parent. Right.
You're the parent.
Yeah. And you should be treated exactly as that, you know, and just and it's the same thing. You become a citizen. That's it. You know, unless you want to pass a law that says everybody could lose their citizenship that way, then forget about it. You know, right. But you can't because you'd have to change the Constitution. We're not at that point yet. There's no way that they're going to get 3/4 of the states and 2/3 of both houses of Congress to agree to this. So they're going to have to find some other way and hope that the Supreme Court is just willing to do this.
He'll write an executive order and the Supreme Court says, whatever you want to do, sir, just take that Constitution and rip it to shreds.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does seem to be what they did. And when Ketanji Jackson said that last week, Amy Coney Barrett really took that personally and said, well, they're worried about, she's worried about the imperial presidency. What about the imperial courts? It's like the presidency is one person. Power concentrated in one person is a lot more dangerous than power concentrated in 500 judges. I'm sorry, but it is. This brings us to predictions. What do you have for us, Matt?
Now, my fear is I'm seeing slowdowns in two of our biggest tourist cities in America, or I should say state, Hawaii. There's a lot of great cities there, and Las Vegas. My fear is this is a start of a contagion, that this spreads across the United States because foreign people are not traveling to the U.S., and worse, they can't get workers at hospitality, hotels, bars, and restaurants, because if you're Hispanic, do you want to go to a place that you think ICE might show up? It's going to create a problem for our economy in a few short months.
All right, I'm going to be quick. The deficit hawks of the Freedom Caucus are trying to put up a fight, and they don't want to pass the big beautiful bill. It's back in the House, and they're doing the marathon thing that the Senate did over the weekend. Of the two Republicans who voted no on it the first time around, Ohio Republican Representative Warren Davidson, who met with Trump twice, has already reversed himself. He's going to vote yes. Republican Andy Harris of Maryland, the chair of the Freedom Caucus, has said Johnson doesn't have the votes to advance the bill. I'm going to predict that they're going to cave, and that this bill is going to pass. I also am going to predict that this is going to guarantee that the Republicans do not hold on to the House come the midterms. I think that they're very short-sighted.
What about the Senate?
Senate, I don't know. Senate is, that's a tough road for the Democrats, but definitely the Republicans are going to lose the House. Okay. We'll find out if any of this comes true. Till next time, stay informed and stay engaged.
Please keep reading.